everybody, this is Bria, and I'm going to say a scripture today. Hebrews 11, 35-38. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Hebrews 11, 35-38.
Hey, good morning, you guys out there watching, and good morning to everybody that's here in person. God bless y'all. First of all, I want to give some shout-outs. I want to tell you, Brother Smitty, we love you. You're not that far away, okay? And I want to give a shout-out to Robert Miguel. I know him from Facebook. Mr. Robert, I like your style. You're a no-nonsense kind of guy. When these hecklers and these haters and people come around, I just love the way you handle it, okay? I just wanted to tell you that. Eric, you're not alone in thinking that you found this ministry by mistake. I love how many of you guys out there have said that. Every time I see that and I read it, I always believe that it was by God's hand leading you here. And the same thing for Miss MJ Smith. And Miss Debbie, I want to give a shout out. Asher, I love your spirit. I want to give a congratulations to Ebony. She's newly found out that she's pregnant. She's going to be a mom. And Mr. Mark, he's going to get to be a grandfather or a papa or whatever he wants to be called. Okay, so congratulations, y'all, on those upcoming babies. And we're praying that they'll be healthy. Healthy pregnancy and healthy babies, okay? Now, I want to tell y'all what today's message is about. It is about forbidden sex. We're going there, and I want to tell y'all something. When you find out this first part, this is a part one. You know me, okay? When I cover something, I want to cover it as thoroughly as I can. So I'm not like a snack time preacher, okay? We're going to get the full meal deal, and we're going to get into it. So this message is for everybody. This first part that we're going to talk about is fornication. And you might think, what? I'm married. I'm out. Whatever. I don't even need to listen to this, okay? You might be surprised. And even if you are married, happily married, and you feel like your marriage is safe and secure and all of that, do you have kids? Do you have grandchildren? Is there somebody in your life who's single and dating that you may hold influence over? You see, there are people that we minister and we speak into their lives, okay? And so it's for everybody. That's why I say young and old. And I will say up front, before we get into this, if you continue in this sin of fornication, and I'll explain what that is in a minute, because when I was a teenager, I was like, forno what? I had no idea what that meant. Nobody explained it. As far as I know, nobody preached on it. I was just like, vroom, whatever with that. And if you stay in it, you won't inherit heaven, okay? It is a sin that will keep you from going to heaven. So, with that being said, let's get right into it. Look at this first picture. This very first picture. And you've got this couple up here, and it says, here they are all up on each other, snugged up and whatever, and it says, should we move in together before marriage? I'm going to tell you what, the short answer to that is no. Did I do it? Yes. But here's the thing. You know, we all come from somewhere, right? And knowing what I know now, would I have done that then? No. Because I'm walking with the Lord now, okay? And so that's why I'm speaking out to you guys and trying to tell you ahead of time, don't do it, okay? Because here's the thing. You know, a lot of people kid themselves and they think, well, you know, we can live together and still abstain from having sex. And abstain means not having it, okay? And they think, well, we just won't tempt each other. Who are you kidding with that garbage? Okay, listen to this. When you're newly dating and you're telling yourself, we're not going to be tempted and we can do this, you know, we can live together and all this kind of stuff. I want to tell you something. You get in that situation, that's all that's going to be on your mind. Okay? You're going to be like, oh, how the other person smells. Maybe they just got out of the shower where they got their cologne on and they smell so good. There's a reason why those perfumes and colognes smell like that and get your senses going, okay? And then you're sitting there and, you know, you're wanting to be next to them or you want to touch them or, you know, they walk across the room and you're checking them out. I mean, that's all that's going to be on your mind, all the little things, okay? Being close and all this. Before you know it, you're living in fornication. You thought you were going to abstain and you could wait, you know, and all of this until you got married and that kind of thing. And the next thing you know, you cross that line and it's like, and there you are, all right? Now, so fornication is a big word, and I never understood what it meant, so we're going to break it down. It is, and we're going to be as tactful as we can with these messages because I have at least a 3-part series on just sex, forbidden sex, okay? And so in that, we're going to cover a lot of ground, and let me tell you something, it is an art to talk about it tactfully. So we're going to do the best that we can, okay? And this is all through the Bible. All through the Bible. So fornication is sexual intercourse between two people that are not married to each other, okay? So, and the way, you know, I look at it, living together and having sex, dating and having sex, the one night stands, I mean all of it, okay? So it's the bottom line is it's having sex with someone you are not married to, okay? And it's having sex before you get married. It can be having sex after you get married as far as like if the person dies. And there you are, single again, right? Okay, so all of that is fornication, and in God's standard, it is sin. Now, I know a lady, and why I said this, like if you find yourself widowed or whatever, I know a lady that's in her 70s, and she's divorced, okay? Now, this is me when I was a baby Christian. She used to talk about having to abstain from sex. And I know I would always sit there and be like, you're 70-something years old. What are you talking about? This was me, I'm telling you. And I was sitting there and I'd be thinking, well, I don't know what your deal is. You done been married. You done had sex. You're 70-something years old. I don't know what the big deal is. Okay. So she would talk about in Sunday school about having to abstain from sex. And so she would say that in the same way that a homosexual person has to come before God and ask forgiveness and repent and stop their sexual relations, that she had to do the same thing and abstain. Because I know, as a baby Christian, I was always like, well, what is a homosexual person supposed to do? Because I have friends that were homosexual, right? And you like, I know of one friend that was a girl in school, and when she came out, it was very hard on her, and people were very mean and hateful and cruel to her. And so in my mind, especially being a baby Christian, I was like, it didn't seem like to me she chose that path. She didn't seem like she was doing it on purpose. Who wants to purposely go out there and be, and like to the world that at that time, especially in high school, everybody was straight. You know, it's more accepted now, 20-something years later, right? Or however many it's been. Okay? And so she got a lot of hate and a lot of, I mean, it was hard. And so in my mind, it was like, yeah, she was born this way. And that's where I stood on that, right? So I would ask the people in Sunday school, well, what are they supposed to do? Blah, 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 you know? And then they would tell me that we, as Christians, were supposed to love them to Christ. And of course, at that time, it was one of those answers where you're just like, okay, whatever with that. And when something doesn't make sense to me, then I just file it away. Like, okay, I'm on to the next thing already. Whatever, okay? Now I understand that, but then I didn't. Okay, so, and the thing is, too, about people that feel that way, like I didn't have a choice, I was made this way, I felt this way my whole life and all of that. And did you know that can actually be true for that person? Now the scientists and whoever have studied and they say there's no homosexual gene and all that. But where this comes from, it comes from Satan and the demonic side, and it can come through a generational curse, even as a baby, where that person feels this way until they come to know Jesus Christ and they break those curses and those sins off of their life. They're going to be trapped in feeling like that. But the Bible says, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. So when they know that God does not approve of it, then you have to say, well, if I feel like I was made this way and I know he made me and he don't approve of this, then me and him got to have a little chat and we got to get this thing ironed out, right? And so, and I did a message on homosexuality and research too. And there are people that have given their testimony about it and how God set them free and gave them back natural affection for a man or a woman, whichever way. If they were a man, then for a woman. If they were a woman, then for a man. And so God is the one that breaks that off and writes it. He writes that wrong that Satan brought in, trying to deceive the mind, okay? So, anyway, that's what I'll say on that. So what she was saying about the same way that they have to not be having sex because it's a sin, she wasn't supposed to be having sex because it was also a sin because she wasn't married, right? Okay. So basically, if you're not married, then sex is off limits according to God, okay? So if you're living to please him and you're doing your best to live holy because he's holy, then you're going to cut it out if you're not married to that person, okay? Now, let's look at love. A feeling of strong or constant affection for a person. Attraction that includes sexual desire. The strong affection felt by people who have a romantic relationship. So that's love. And lust. A very strong sexual desire. You see how that difference between the two? Lust. I want it, or I want you, gotta have you. That's on my mind. That's all I'm thinking about. It's just lust. There aren't any deeper emotion, deeper feeling, deeper attachment. Nothing there. Okay? Now, let's take a look at this next picture. So now let's take it back to, this can even be a couple that's married, but this since we're talking about fornication, let's say this couple's dating. All right, so here you are dating, and your date does this to you? I mean, look at that. That ain't no just little casual slight looking off glance. That is, I'm going to turn around and take this all in. I want the full view on this deal. Okay, so he's doing that. And I want to tell you something. That person right there that you're on a date with that does that something like that to you, that's disrespecting you. You drop that person. You say, you know what? That just told me something about you and who you are, and we don't need to carry this thing any further. Right then and there. And you'll get red flags when you're out there in the dating scene, in the dating world. And especially if you're asking God to lead you to that right person, he will throw the red flags up, and it's up to you to heed them and say, uh-uh, you're not going to treat me like that, okay? And so that tells you that person's not going to be faithful. If they're sitting there doing that, eyeballing this up and down. And I want to tell you something else. Well, I know when I was little, like my mom and daddy be driving somewhere and I'd be in the car with them or whatever. And maybe there'd be a woman or something walking down the side of the road, just about like this lady right here. I want to say maybe that's a pair of those little kind of fancy shorts that are cut right up under the booty cheeks, if you know what I'm saying. And there'd be a lady, maybe she'd have those cut off shorts. And I mean, her booty would be hanging out. And, you know, and my parents would talk about it. Can you believe that? Did you see that? You know what I mean? That's one thing. As a couple, when you're both acknowledging what you just saw. But I guarantee you, if my daddy had swerved that car off the side of the road and been trying to take a look, and my mama was like, you know what I mean? That wasn't going to happen. If you're talking about it as a couple together, like you can't believe, that's one thing. But when one of you is just gawking at something else, that's something totally different. Okay? Now, I, believe it or not, I'm not a Pollyanna. I wasn't a Pollyanna, let's put it that way. I had sex before I was married. I lived with Scott before I was married. And, you know, I wasn't taught biblically about any of this. None of it. Okay? The only thing that I didn't even realize that, you know, what a sin it is to him, even though it was considered wrong. I didn't know anything about hurting God or walking in sin, doing those things, because I hadn't been taught those things, you know, in the Bible. And from a Christian parent to teach me that, okay? I wasn't living for God back then. And all my mom said, I came from a time when my parents, they never talked about sex with me and my brothers. I mean, I don't know, maybe I can't speak for my brothers, but I know for me, my mama nor my dad talked to me about it at all. All my mom said was, you need to wait until you're married, and that was it. So all I knew is it was something that was supposed to be bad, it was frowned on, you're not supposed to even do any of that until you're married, and I had no idea why, except mama said so. Okay, now there is something to that as far as if I would have known this one better, obeying your parents and honoring them so that you'll have a long life and be blessed, right? So I at least could have honored my mom because she said, don't do that until you're married, and I didn't. I blew right past that one, you know, right? So I didn't know that, I did know that she hadn't waited. Because I could do the math from the day of her marriage till the day my first brother was born, my oldest brother. So I knew that she hadn't waited. And so, of course, you know, I just was like, well, she's telling me to do something that she didn't do, right? So there you go. There's that pattern. She did it. I'm going to do it, you know, whatever. You know, well, I'm going to break that cycle with Kennedy. Let me tell you that right now. I want you to see. When I looked at my mom and I knew she did it, she didn't wait till she was married. I want you to know what a big role model for your kids that you are. They're watching your life. They're watching you. And it's not just what you say, but it's what you do. It's both of them, okay? And you have a great impact on your kids' lives. And so I'm in that same boat. But I'm not going to lie to Kennedy when she gets older, okay? Not that my mom lied. Maybe you could say she just held that back, whatever. But I will teach her exactly what the Bible has to say about it, what God has to say about it, okay? And I will let her know that it displeases the Lord and that it is a sin. And there is a special reason why he requires us to wait until we're married, okay? Now, so look at this next couple. Yeah, we're going to just load right up into the bedroom here. So when is this okay according to God, right? That's what we want to know. When is that okay? You know, did you know that God is very big on covenants? A covenant is a mutual agreement between two parties. And we have a covenant-keeping God, and he keeps his word. Okay, and so Numbers 23:19a says, God is not a man that he should lie. There have been times in Scripture where God was making a promise to someone, and he has no one higher to swear on. So he swears on his own name. And the Scripture says that he has placed his word above his name. You know what that means? And I mean, we should be like that. When you tell somebody you're going to do something, that they know that they, like, you know what, that so-and-so, they always keep their word. They have never let me down with what they said. But so often in today's world, we make a promise or we say something, and then we forget all about it. We go right on with life. We done blew past it, and done, you know, and then we all just accept that as the normal standard, and it really shouldn't be. Because God's standard is when you give your word, you need to be honest and true and keep your word and uphold it, okay? That's what he does, and he's our Father, okay? So now, did you know that marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman? It is a blood covenant. When the woman has kept herself pure, so a virgin, okay, she has something that's called a hymen. And when that is broken during the consummation of the marriage, then blood is shed. Okay? And God considers a man and a wife one flesh, a husband and a wife, one flesh when they're married. And don't think because the woman is the one that sheds the blood that it doesn't matter if the guy is a virgin or not. Because some guys have that attitude. Oh, you got to stay a virgin, but it's okay for me to go and do, nope. Mm-mm, not in God's eyes, not according to his standard, okay? The man also should have to wait until marriage to have sex. And Mark 10, 6 through 9 says, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. So then they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So let no man come in between that relationship once you're married and you're joined to somebody. You don't, you don't sit there and if you're a man, you don't go to lunch every day with a woman in the office by yourself and you're married, right? You don't, you don't invite, you know, like if you're a woman and the neighbor comes over and it's a guy and your husband's not home and y'all sit there for a couple hours and visit and chat, it doesn't look good. You don't want any shadiness. You don't want, and it doesn't matter if your marriage is like a totally secure, there's no jealousy, there's none of that. You don't put yourself in that situation. You guard and protect that marriage, and you don't do those kind of things. You would think that's common sense, but today's world has, I don't know where common sense went, okay, because you see people doing this stuff all the time, and then they're like, what? And things can arise through doing things like that, okay? So the only time sex is acceptable according to God and his word is when a man and a woman are married. Now, like I was talking about all the stuff I did, all the stuff I did, past tense, okay? Because I want to tell you something. I'm happy and praise God that I did not die in my sin of fornication. Because if I would have died in that state, I would be burning in hell. There would be no reprieve. There would be no coming back from that, okay? So praise God for his mercy and grace that I was given time to come out of that. Now, what I want to say to you guys out there, especially, you know, to the teens and those in their 20s and 30s, and you think, you know, well, I got time too. I still want to have my fun, and I want to party, and I want to, you know, I want to experience all this. I want to do all this. You don't know that you have time. You know, we're in the end of days right now. We see things changing so much. We see, you know, what's going on in this world. We see prophecy coming to pass. We see even the King James Bible being attacked now. And I mean, so we know that God is telling us. It's like he's up there blowing that warning trumpet. I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. Get ready, get ready, get ready. And so that luxury of trying to live it up and be all in sin, we shouldn't even be craving or wanting that when we're seeking and walking with him. Okay? So, you know, I thank God that he held his hand on me and I had time to come to him, but otherwise I would have had no excuse, okay? So, want to know what happens when you sleep around and you don't wait till marriage? Look at this next guy. Look at his face. And there she is in the background, right? Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 6, 16 through 18. Don't you know that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, says he, that's God, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without, which means outside the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. You are joined to the flesh of that person. Now, and it doesn't even have to be, it doesn't even have to just be a harlot or a prostitute or a hooker or, you know, whatever today's term is, okay? It doesn't have to be those things. It can be a girlfriend. It could be somebody you're in love with. It could be a boyfriend, you know what I mean? We're talking about both, even if I say whichever, it's the opposite as well, because some people get hung up in that. Well, you didn't say boyfriend, so it must only be both, okay? So it doesn't have to just be, you know, a prostitute, a harlot, a hooker, or whatever. It can be somebody that you're dating that you really care about, all right? Now, this is also where something called soul ties. Think about that guy's picture we just saw. There he is sitting up in the front with his sober-looking face. And there's the girl in the background with her hair like la-ti-da, right? Okay, so here's the thing. When you sleep with somebody like that, outside of marriage, that's where soul ties come in. And demons and things that haunt that person's life can be transferred during sexual intercourse, and so then come into your life and begin to harass you and now be attached to you, bringing the same stuff that's happening in that person's life right over here into your life. And there's that connection then. Demonic, okay? It's a very serious thing in the eyes of the Lord, and it should be so in our eyes too. Sin has consequences, okay? God will forgive all sin except blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So you think, well, he'll forgive it, you know, he, you know, whatever. Okay, God will forgive your sin when you ask him and you repent with a sincere heart, but sin has consequences. He don't always take those consequences off, okay? There's not, you may not always see the consequence or feel it or know about it, but sin has consequences, okay? Now, talking about some consequences of what can happen when you're having sex outside of marriage, and for you guys out there, parents and everybody, because I wasn't taught this, I want y'all to get a hold of this. We're fixing to talk about some STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. Now they have what's called STIs, sexually transmitted infections. Because what happens? The infection leads to the disease, okay? So here's the thing. A lot of people, this wasn't very much talked about when I was younger. You know, I wasn't hearing it in my household, that's for sure. Remember, mom and dad, they avoided the sex talk. So that's something else that needs to be brought out, because people are just not understanding some of the consequences of that sin, okay? And some of the pictures I saw when I was pulling this message together, you know, I've already got three parts lined out. And some of these pictures were, I tell you what, if you just Google up some of this stuff and you're sitting there with your boyfriend and your girlfriend, it ought to make you say, whoa, you know what I mean? It really should make you stop and think. Now, sexually transmitted diseases are caused by infections that are passed from one person to another during sexual contact, and many STDs are not curable, okay? No cure. You got it? You got it. And many times there aren't even signs or traces that a person has an STD, and they may not even know it. So you can't just look at somebody and think they don't have anything and it's okay, you know, you won't catch anything, and just take their word for it. You know, I can tell you, even from when I was dating and single and whatever, and you'd get that, oh, I don't have anything, I'm clean, I'm, you know, that don't mean a thing. Not a thing, okay? People lie, people don't even know what they have. Now, I want to, let's look at this next picture. And I picked something that, to me, this like will gross you out. Okay, I didn't even really know about this until I started researching for this message. I heard about it like in science class, I want to say back in the eighth grade. We studied some of this stuff. But this right here, what you see on this person's back, like their upper shoulder area, this is syphilis. Okay, look at all that sores and scabs and just, it's horrible covering this person. And you know what? There are people that are sick and infected, and you want to know something? And they're mad about it. And you know what those people are doing? They're having sex with as many people as they can just to spread the disease. I've heard the stories about that. And they don't have to look like this guy, because that would be obviously be like, and you'd run, right? Where, you know, say HIV, something that you can't physically see on the person, but they're bitter and angry inside because they have it, probably because somebody lied to them, right? And so their attitude is, I'm going to infect as many people as I can. And I've heard stories. One story a guy shared with me that I used to work with, and it was a lady that he knew. I don't remember if she's a relative or not, but she was about to get married, and they had a big bachelorette party, and I think they went to Vegas. And I'm going to tell you something. This sin was already running rampant because the key word was she was about to get married. So on this wild time in Vegas with her bachelorette party, she sleeps with someone. Wow. You are going to get married and you went and slept with somebody? You see? And so after this person that she slept with left her a nice little note to wake up to in the morning, letting her know that he had AIDS and he was gone. And there she was. I want to tell you something. And God doesn't play about this stuff. There's a reason why he warns us in his word. Okay? Listen to this. Deuteronomy 28:27. The Lord will strike you with the botch of Egypt and with the emerodes, which are tumors, and with the scab and with the itch, whereof you cannot be healed. Sound like anything? Did that sound like looking at that guy, what he had on his back? Okay, God does not play with this stuff. And when you read that chapter, that Deuteronomy right there, this is the part of the curses that God pronounced against Israel if they did not follow him. He had blessing and he had cursing. So either you want to walk with him and you want his blessing, or you want to walk against him and you're going to walk in the curses. Okay? And you could say, I'm not Israel. I got nothing to do with the Old Testament. Don't apply to me. Listen to this. These same curses apply to those that don't take Jesus as their Savior and love and obey him. So if you're not under the new covenant, which is Jesus Christ, and you're not making him Lord of your life and laid your life down and given your life to him and have his blood applied to your heart and your life, you're right over there in the same curses that God pronounced against Israel. They apply to you too. And me too, if I'm not walking with Jesus, okay? So, those curses that are in the old covenant didn't go anywhere, because if you're not covered under the new covenant, you're covered under those curses of the old covenant, okay? Now, I just want to be clear about something. When Jesus is Lord of your life, it means you ask him what your purpose is. It means you go to him before you make decisions in your life. It means you honor him with your life, your time, your money. All that you have, you honor him with it, okay? You worship and praise him. You read his word because you want to know all that he said. And you understand that he still speaks through his word. I've heard people say, I don't need to read that. I hear his voice. I got it. Wow. And that's just his written word. And you don't even care to want to know what he says. And he still speaks through his word today. Okay? You pray to him. And you let him know your heart's desires. You pray for others. And you bring your needs before him, even though he already knows everything. Because some people get hung up on that. Well, he already knows, so why should I even pray? Because you want to have a relationship. Because he wants to hear it from you. That would be just like a mama and daddy. And they already heard what's going on with their kid in trouble. And you know what? And then the kid's like, well, why should I go and say anything to them? Because they already know. Because they love you and they want to talk to you and they want to have that rapport with you and they want to be able to help you. But if you're not even humble enough to come to them and talk to them about it, you know, he's just sitting there waiting on us to come and talk to him about it. Okay? So now, you want to have that intimate relationship with him. You long to be with him. This world is not your home. If you really know the signs of the time, you ought to be about sick of this world and ready for him, waiting on him, okay? He is your standard, not anybody else or nothing else in this world. Jesus Christ is our standard. He's the one we look at, okay? He's the one we look to. And you continually ask him to teach you and grow you in his spirit. You ask him to mold and shape you and to help you to stop and get rid of anything in your life that doesn't please him. You ask him to use you for his glory and his honor and his kingdom. And you take him seriously. You don't just act like you love him on Sunday after you've been out at the bar all night long drinking and trying to pick somebody up. Okay? I've been there. And you don't just put him on Sunday. And I know you've heard that one preached. You know, like beating a dead horse. But I'm going to tell you something. You also don't just love him when you get in trouble. Lord, if you'll do this for me, I'll never do that again. Lord, if you'll do this, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And the next week, you're back doing the same stuff. You know what I mean? When you really understand what it means to make him Lord of your life, it's all those things I just talked about. It's not just something that's on your lips. I'm a Christian. That is so cheap today. Okay, so let's look at Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, this is Paul talking, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to be the one to abstain. You have to be the one to pray. You have to be the one to seek the Lord and ask for his help. You have to be the one that has that reverential fear for him, that love for him. You have to be the one to walk that walk. You're going to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? Nobody else can do it for you. Now look at this next guy. I really like this one. Says, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. And they give the reference there, 1 Corinthians 6:18. That picture of seeing that guy running reminded me of this right here in Genesis. Genesis 39:12. And remember, this was Joseph, who had been thrown into the pit by his brothers, and then they had gotten him out, and they'd sold him into slavery, into Egypt, and he was working at Potiphar's house, right? And Potiphar had put him in charge of all that he had, and there was Potiphar's wife, just constantly giving Joseph, just checking him out up and down. And you can imagine wearing her little sleazy whatevers or nothing at all, just trying to tempt him continually, right? Until finally one day she made her move. And it says, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And I like the way it says, and got him out. He got out of there, man. He wasn't even playing. He was like, woo, I'm out of here. Okay? And then guess what? What did God do because of Joseph and his heart for him? Genesis 39:21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison, because he got thrown in prison after that because she accused him falsely. And I want to tell you something. When you honor God, when you put him first, God will honor you. Okay? That's what he was doing. He was like, I'm a godly man. I'm out of here. I can't have no part of this. You know, avoid even the appearance of sin, right? Acts 7:9-10. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. That was his brothers. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions. Some of them, all of them. And gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. God will be with you. When he sees you honoring him, he's going to honor you back. He sees all the little sacrifices that we make, and he will honor those. And also, those are also ways that you're laying up treasures in heaven. There are many different ways to lay up your treasures in heaven, okay? The big thing is to honor God and his word. How you even show God that you love him, it's not just saying, I love you. That's not even it. He says, obey me, and that's how I know you love me. You see? Look at this next picture, and I'm going to read this out. I feel like this was very powerful. Look at this lady with this guy, and this is probably looks Facebook or something, I don't know. She says, if you could see the spirit of the person you're sleeping with, would you still lay with them? This is what it looks like to be alive in Christ as the guy there and sleeping with someone who is dead in sin. And they say condoms don't protect against soul ties, and that's true. And she says, trust me, they are hard to cut loose. I was convicted of it so hard, y'all don't understand. Sex is for holy marriage. There's a reason why it's called holy matrimony, okay? And I tell you what, if we could actually see people and we could actually see, you know, their spirit, we could actually see the state of their spirit, what they're actually in, that would change. I tell you what, our decisions and stuff would change so fast. So here we are. Look at this next picture. There ain't no shame in our game, right? What to pack for your night of fornication? Ladies' guide. Okay. There's no shame. They're not even thinking about God, okay? It's just what, you know, what we're fixing to do and what do I need to pack and all this kind of stuff. And I want to tell you something just from my experience. I know that when you've been dating somebody or whatever, you know, and you pretty much already know, you've already made up your mind if you like them enough and you're attracted enough and you're whatever enough that you're even going to go down that road. Okay? I know I always knew ahead of time. Okay? And so this talking about packing that bag and all that stuff, yep. And you'd get your little sexy whatever it was packed or bought or and get all your little plans made. All of these little plans and getting everything in place for your sin. All of this little night of fornication or however long you're with this person or whatever that's going to continue, right? And you're planning it and you're putting your money into it and your time and your focus. And where's your heart? Because it ain't on God. It ain't on God. And I want to tell you something. It's not about glorying in your sin. I don't glory in where I came from, but I praise God that he took me from there to here. But I do want to let you know, We don't always have time to fiddle around and make all those mistakes and do all that stuff and then believe he's going to just keep his hand on us and carry us forward, because when that trumpet sounds and those skies break and Jesus calls his bride, that's it. That's it. Where are you going to be when he does that? Are you going to be loaded up with your night of fornication, with your little backpack, with your sexual lingerie and all of your stuff already planned? And, you know, y'all got to think about this seriously. It's very serious. So I'll share something else with y'all. When I was a teenager, okay, I have three brothers, okay? And they're all different. As you guys that have more than one child know, they're all different. Their personalities, their looks, their everything, they're all totally different. So my middle brother, well, I just threw him under the bus, didn't I? Okay, he was kind of popular in school. He was an athlete. He played football. He was one of the popular kids. Okay, he told me one night, I got to ride around with him in his truck in his super cool ride with Mr. Coolness himself and all of this, right? And he let me ride around with him in his truck one night for a little while, and then I got booted out because he had to get back with his friends and stuff and all that. But he told me, I was just starting to date around that time, right? You know, my mom and dad made me wait. I was 16, okay? And so he told me, he said, don't sleep with the guys. He said, you know, don't sleep with them. This is coming from my brother who was popular, who was doing it all. He was sleeping with people. He was drinking. He was doing it all. And there he was telling his little sister, he was saying, don't you do it. He said, that's all they want. And, you know, he's like, that's all they're going to, if you do, they're going to be gone. And I looked at him. He was Mr. Popularity. He was doing all, you know, all these things. And all the girls were calling and coming around. And, oh, they wanted to talk to your brother. And sometimes they wanted to get close to me just so they could get close to him. And, you know, so I saw all that. And I want to tell you something. So many times in my single life, I always wanted a boyfriend. I always wanted somebody steady in my life, okay? And it was like when you felt like you were comfortable with that person and they were going to be your boyfriend and you've been rolling along for a little while, seemed like the minute that you gave in and you had sex, it changed. It changed. And it was like... didn't last very long. Everything broke apart. The relationship broke up. And at least for me, for somebody who sincerely wanted a boyfriend, that kind of thing, then there you were, used and abused, you know, whatever. And you felt like, you'd been tramped on and what. And there you were in that situation. And that person didn't count you as special. That it didn't bother them a bit to move right on down the line. Okay, so what my brother said, it was so true. And he was one that, like in junior high, I think, him and his buddies made bets. How many girls can you date in 1 month? My brother won that bet. I think it was like 30-something girls. Ridiculous. It was ridiculous. That's more than one girl a day saying she wanted to be his girlfriend. It's ridiculous. He broke up with a girl. She was beautiful. Just because she supposedly had crooked toes. Okay? That's the ridiculousness that goes on out in this world that you might not be aware of. You may be somebody's bet. They may have bet and said, let's see if you can sleep with her. And all you are is a bet. You don't want to be that. Okay? And even my brother's advice was so true. And we could all learn from that. Don't cheapen yourself down just because he's good looking and he's pressuring you and your hormones are raging and the mood was right and you just had a great date. And you know what I mean? God has something better for you when you wait. So having said that, let's look at this guy. He looks good, right? At least as far as what my taste, okay? He looks good. Now, So you're attracted to him. You know, this is our what if guy here, okay? You're attracted to him. He smells good, you know, and he's saying and doing all the right things. He's got the right manners. He's fun. He's all of these things. He's got it working. So far, you haven't found anything wrong with this guy. Like, everything is just, like, perfect. It's just too good to be true, right? And so you're rolling along, and maybe you're not a Christian and you don't understand God's standard, or maybe you are, but it's kind of like that thing of I can't help myself and I'm just, you know, going to cross the line or whatever. Okay, whichever way it goes, you cross that line with this Mr. Handsome here, okay, and you decide you just one time. Bam, look at this next picture. There you are. The moment you find out he had an STD. And guess what? You weren't protected from it. What you gonna do now? Everything was great. Everything was perfect. Everything was whatever. And you decided, oh, surely it'll be all right. And there you are. Just like that lady I shared that story. She went out, she had her little good old time, her little one-night stand, one-night fling, whatever. And then she woke up to a note saying, guess what, I have HIV. Yep. Look at this next picture. I like this one. And it says, if your partner is not protecting your soul, then they're not your soulmate. You hear that term thrown around a lot. Oh, my soulmate, my soulmate, my soulmate. You know, and all that kind of stuff. If they're not respecting you and they're pushing you and you know, and they're trying to go against your godly standards and your reasons and the things that you have in your heart and in your life, then, you know, that should be a red flag to you and you should be like, this person's not the one. This isn't right, you know. The Bible says also not to be unequally yoked. I grew up in a family that was unequally yoked. My mom was a Christian. My dad was not. And, I mean, they were like this their whole lives. Okay? And there's a reason why God says, I mean, if you're already married and you're unequally yoked, that's one thing. Because God says the wife's testimony from being a Christian can lead the husband to be saved. Or if the husband is the Christian, his life and his witness and testimony can lead the wife to get saved. But it doesn't always work out like that. And the Bible says if the unbeliever is content to remain and stay with the believer, then let it be so. But it says that if they don't want to and it's just not going to work out, then God says that then you have to part that union. So before you go into a situation and see, nothing is going to be honored by God except sex inside of marriage. So before you take that step to even get engaged, to even discuss marriage, to even get to that point, you want to know, are we equally yoked? And it's the same thing. It should be the same thing in your dating life. And I just want to say something here. I hope I don't embarrass her, but we have a young lady that comes to this church. And she has she's an amazing witness for the Lord. And in her dating life, she is already on the right track because she seeks the Lord and she's like already thinking about those things. I don't want to be unequally yoked. And I'm telling you what, it's way ahead of where I was at her age, I guarantee you. And so you guys have to think about that. Does this person love Jesus Christ? And if you love him and he's Lord of your life, there should not be no shame to have that conversation with somebody that you're going out on the first date with, because you're going to find out real fast where they stand with Jesus. When you bring that up, you're going to know real fast whether they even know who he is or they don't. And that right there should be your litmus test, okay? That should be the thing that tells you, you know, stay or go. I mean, not the only thing, obviously. You do have to have the attraction and all the other. But if that's not hitting on all fours, there's something wrong right there, okay? Matthew 15:16-20. Now, this is Jesus talking, okay? And Jesus said, Are you also yet without understanding? Do not you yet understand that whatever enters in at the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. They were on Jesus about how come his disciples didn't wash their hands before whatever. So Jesus broke it down for them. And the things that your mind comes up with doing, and then you act on them, all those evil deeds, he's saying that's what's coming out of the heart. And you act on that stuff, and that's what defiles you. And when you think about that word defile, remember in the Old Testament, God was always saying, don't touch the dead thing. Stay away from the dead thing. And if they did touch a dead body or a dead thing, then they had to go through a process of sanctification so that they then could enter back into temple worship and the things of God. Okay, you might as well supply that moving forward to our life. When you are defiled over here, you've done something that makes you unclean in God's eyes, then you need to ask forgiveness. You need to repent, stop doing it, and you need to do this with a sincere heart. And guess what? Jesus' blood cleanses you and washes you white as snow. Okay, so you be acceptable in God's sight and in his eyes, okay? Now, when you trust Jesus as your Savior, remember how I was talking about God as a covenant-keeping God, and I talked about that blood covenant that a man and a woman who have kept themselves pure, when they enter into marriage, that covenant, that blood covenant that they enter into? Same thing, when you trust Jesus as your Savior, you enter into a blood covenant with him. Okay, he shed his blood for you on that cross. And you are to live a sinless life and a holy life unto the Lord. He says, live holy for I am holy. And he will help you do it. That's the bonus of the whole thing. We can't do it by ourselves, okay? If you're committing this sin of fornication, stop. Stop. And I pray that this message weighs heavy on your heart. Okay? You got to talk to your partner and you've got to explain all of this to them. Sit down and watch this message together. Sit down and read the Bible together. Pray together, okay? Those are things that strengthen relationships in the Lord. You've got to show them in the Word of God where he says this is wrong. Get married. And if you love the person and you love them and they love you and you know that you know that you know in your heart they're the one for you, you've prayed about it, you've gone before the Lord about it, you have peace about it, you've sought him on it, get married. Problem solved, okay? But you don't want to get married just so you can be having sex, because that's the wrong motive, okay? That's totally wrong. If you're not willing to get married or you're not ready to get married or those things, then you have to abstain from having sex until you are married, okay? Live to please God in all that you do. And if you confess this sin and you ask forgiveness and you repent, repent is stop doing it. You got to remember, there's two steps. You have to ask forgiveness. I'm sorry that I did it, Lord. Please forgive me for being weak or for doing that, Heavenly Father. Then repent is when you turn from that sin. You stop doing it. You go in a different direction. And you know what? He will forgive you. He will forgive all sin except blaspheme in the Holy Spirit, okay? And praise God for his mercy. If you can't stop on your own, you ask forgiveness and then you ask him to help you stop, okay? He will help you. He's the deliverer, okay? And there's a lot of sins that people get entangled into, addiction and different things and certain sins, and they can't overcome it and stop it by themselves. That's why you draw him into the situation and you fall on his mercy and you say, I need you, I need your help. I need you to strengthen me, I need you to carry me through this, I need you to help me to stand against this and to be strong. And look at this last picture. This last picture. You want to know where God's blessing lies. Okay, this is, he blesses this. When they're joined in holy matrimony, this is when God commands his blessing. Okay? In closing, I want to read 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. And Jesus paid a high price. God the Father paid a high price given Jesus. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. This is Paul. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. So he's saying, if you can't stop doing this, if you can't avoid it, if you can't restrain, if you can't, then you need to be married and have your own husband or your own wife, so that you're no longer entrapped and entangled in this sin. Okay? And I know people that have dated for like years. Or I say, I don't know anybody anymore, but you've heard those stories, let me put it that way. People that have dated 10, 12 years, living together, the whole thing. And you're like, you know what? You're living in sin. And these people will walk right up and tell you, I'm Christian. Oh yeah, I love the Lord. And they're living in sin the whole time. These are the same people that will tell you about their great revelations they've gotten from God and this and that. And you're like, this is where we got to get spiritual discernment. Because you're like, you're hearing all this from God, and you're living in sin that he don't approve of? You better start checking people and the things they're saying, okay? You don't have to beat them down about it. You know, the Bible says, look at the log in your own eye before you try to deal with a splinter in someone else's, right? Now, this is something I'm going to share from Heartlight Ministries. And he said, we are different. God makes us male and female so we can be complements of each other. Each is made in God's image. God's intention is that a husband and wife find their primary human relationship with the other. They still honor their parents, but their home is with each other. Their two lives become one. In this context of lifetime security, they share in the intimate knowledge of each other sexually, becoming one flesh. Okay? This relationship is to be enjoyed. You find that in Proverbs 5. It's to be protected. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-8. It's to be celebrated. You find that in the Song of Solomon. It's a love story. And it's for life. Matthew 19:6, whom God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Okay? And that's what I have for you guys this week on fornication. Next week, I want to tell you, we're going to get into adultery. We're going to get into oral sex. Yeah, we're going there. We're going to talk about masturbation. We're going to hit it all. Okay? We're not going to leave, you know, if I can help it, we're not going to leave any stone unturned, because people honestly do not know in this day and time what pleases God and what doesn't, okay? So we're going to talk about those things. But right now, let's go ahead and let's go to prayer, you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, I thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Christos, the Anointed One. Lord Jesus, you are the bread of life, and you sustain us spiritually and physically. And Heavenly Father, you are the Holy One of Israel, and you are sovereign. No one and nothing tells you what to do. Heavenly Father, you're glorious and magnificent in all of your splendor. And you are a just God, and you don't play favorites. You're just in all your ways, and you are fair. And Heavenly Father, Holy and Almighty Father, I ask you, Lord, to bless us all with the strength to live with integrity and purity in today's sexually charged world. Please use your Spirit and your Word to instruct and correct and convict us as we seek to discover your truth for our relationships and celebrate your will for our sexuality. And Heavenly Father, I ask you to help those who are virgins to protect their virginity, men and women alike. And Father, help those who repent and rededicate themselves to you, that are asking you to help them to live holy before you, because it's never too late. That person who's already crossed that line, they can still repent and ask forgiveness and be washed clean in Jesus' blood, and then say, Father, help me to do this thing. Help me to stand strong against the wiles of the devil, because he tempts us and he tries to pull us away into sin. Help us, Lord, to stand strong against this sin, Father. And help us, Lord, to be great witnesses to our children and to those around us, to our family and our friends, Lord, to help to lift them up in their walks with you, and to stand the mamas and dads to teach what is holy to the Lord and what is right in his sight. And Heavenly Father, right now, I want to lift up people for prayer. Lord, there is a lady who was commenting on some of the messages who believes that the two witnesses are already here, and she thinks she's hearing from Gabriel. Lord, this woman is lost in her deception, and she's trying to drag others with her. She's referencing a Catholic website where these two witnesses are supposedly on there. Lord, and I met a man at the library yesterday who said he is a deist. He got so mad, he couldn't even finish talking to me, Lord. I want to lift these individuals before you, along with our family and friends who were unsaved, Father. And we pray for their salvation, Lord. And we know it's not your will for any to be lost. Even the meanest of the mean, it's not them, it's the Spirit that's driving them. We ask you, Lord, to deliver these people and to bring them to salvation. Lord, I want to lift up people for jobs. I know the list is growing, Father. And to that list, we want to add Mr. Allen. Lord, there are so many right now. Things are, you know, the turbulent times in this world, Heavenly Father. And we're asking for jobs to be provided, Father, for those that are calling out to you, for those that are reaching to touch that hem of Jesus. Lord, they're coming to the right source. They're seeking you, and they're saying, please help us. Father, these people have families. They have bills to pay. They have things that they have to meet, Lord. And we know that you can supernaturally provide, but we know that you are the one who opens doors. You make connections. You make opportunities, Father. And we're asking for favor for all those who are listening, Lord, and who are here that need jobs, Father. We ask for you to provide, Lord, and let them know that it came from your hand. Some have been waiting for a while, Lord. And we ask, Father, as they wait and continue to seek for jobs, that you sustain them. You make a way for them, Lord. And I want to pray, Father, about the weather. Pastor Philip in Liberia and Pastor Dauber in India. Lord, in India, they're facing the monsoon season, and a lot of the people live down in the valleys by the mountains, and they live close to the rivers for their water. And Lord, as the rivers rise and they're worried about the waters flooding and they're worried about mud slides coming down in their homes, Father, and for Pastor Philip with the waters rising and people having to leave homes and different things, Lord, we ask you to keep your hand of protection on these people. We pray for protection and peace, Lord, and for your mercy during this time. We ask, Father, that the waters would recede, Lord, and that you would hold back the mudslides and the different fatalities and things that come through drastic weather. Lord, keep your hand on your children. Father, I just ask for Miss Ebony, who is newly pregnant, Lord, and anybody else out there who has found out, Lord, that they're expecting a baby. Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, for healthy babies and healthy pregnancies, Lord. We ask for this to be a wonderful experience in this time of their lives, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless these babies coming, Father, and that they would serve you all the days of their lives, that their parents, Lord, would be convicted, and that they would raise them to know you, Heavenly Father. Lord, Miss Yolindi is asking for better working hours. She's happy and praises you that she got a job. And Lord, they have her working this rotating shift to where it's keeping her away from her family, and she has little children. And Lord, nobody likes to be away from their family just because of their jobs. So we're asking you to make a way and give her favor with her boss, Lord, and with her co-workers on this job. We're asking, Lord, that the time would be sped up, that she would be able to have a better change of hours so that she could spend time with her family. And for those out there that are in this situation, we ask, Lord, that you bring families back together, Lord, to have that time together and that they would fellowship in you. Lord, Miss Andrea, she is facing eviction out of the apartment that she lives in, Father. And we're asking for you to make a way for her to be able to stay there, Lord, for favor, Father, for protection, Heavenly Father. She doesn't know what she will do, Lord. And she's coming to you and asking for your mercy for her not to be evicted, Lord. And I just want to, for general prayer for Miss Josie. She's having a hard time, Lord, as she's aging and getting older. And I know there's a lot of people facing that, Father. And it's no fun to be aging and doing those things, Lord. We get wisdom and experience when we age. But our bodies, Lord, it takes a toll on us in this life, Father. So I ask you to strengthen her and others that feel like her. Give her strength, Lord. Help her to persevere. Breathe that new wind into her life, Heavenly Father. Lift her up on your wings, Lord, and let her sail. And now we're going to do some spiritual warfare for some healing. We have Miss Lynn, who had a mild heart attack. And we have Miss Janice, who needs healing. We have Steph's dad, who has congestive heart failure. And we have Miss Kim. She goes by Classy Kim on YouTube. She's got, I believe, she's battling stage 4 cancer. Miss Andrea for her hand to heal. Miss Patty and in Minnesota and her sister. And Miss Yolindi's sister. She had an amazing testimony where she was completely healed of cancer, and the doctors had called her brain dead, and she came out of all of that, and she had a clean bill of health, and they were amazed and astonished. And now the cancer is trying to come back, and they're saying it's stage 3. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to try to rain on our parade. And I want to lift up Pastor Jerry. So right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against you, Satan, against you and all the people's lives that are battling cancer, that are on this list of names I just read out and that are listening right now to this message. I come against you, Satan, and I bind you off of their lives in Jesus' name. For those who are saved, I command you off of them, out and off, you and your whole kingdom and all your spirits of cancer, spirits of torment, unclean spirits, evil spirits, spirits of pain, spirits of infirmity, spirits of weakness, spirits of sickness. I command you out of these people right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You will stand down, take your hands off of them, and flee in Jesus' name. He has given me power over all power of the enemy. And I trample on you. You're under my feet. And that's what he's given to every Christian. And you know I come at you in the name and authority of Jesus Christ. You will flee and stand down in Jesus' name. And right now, Heavenly Father, as Satan has been bound off of the unbelievers and he's been commanded to flee off of those who are Christians, I ask you, Father, by your Holy Spirit power, I ask you, Lord, to minister in these lives. Lord Jesus, you're still the healer. I ask you to touch and heal from head to toe. And we know and we stand on your word that by your stripes we've already been healed. And we ask this healing, call this healing forward to manifest in these bodies. Father, we're believing for great testimonies to come. And that even includes Phyllis, who's fighting cancer, Lord. You know all the ones who are fighting it, Father. And I just want to tell you, I want to ask you, Lord, send in your warring angels and cut and sever the ties with the kingdom of darkness out of these lives. Father, we ask you, Lord, to have mercy on these souls, Heavenly Father, to heal. Lord, use it for your glory, your honor, and your kingdom. Let it be the good report. We believe your report and not the doctor's report. Lord, we're asking for Miss Steph's dad to be healed from congestive heart failure. Miss Janice, and for Andrea with their hand. All of these needs and the people that we lifted up, Lord. Lord Jesus, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have never stopped healing, and you still do miracles and healings today. And we just ask you, Lord, to touch and heal. Let your Holy Spirit flow. Holy Spirit, you're the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And we still believe. Jesus said, nothing is impossible for him who believes. And so, Lord, we ask if anybody has any doubt, Father, that you would erase that doubt from them, that you would let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are real and that you still heal and that your miracles and healings and all your power did not stop and end with the apostles. So we lift these people up for healing, Lord. I come against you again, Satan, out of all the targeted individuals' lives. I command you, I bind you out and off of their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, while Satan is bound out of all the targeted people's lives, Father, I ask you, Lord, to deliver them, to heal them. I ask for peace to flow into them, Lord Jesus. You're the Prince of Peace. I ask you, Heavenly Father, to restore what the enemy has taken from them. You are a God of restoration. I ask you, Lord, to blind the enemy to their whereabouts. Confuse the enemy, Heavenly Father. And just like the occult likes it, they show that little snake eating his own tail because they believe in reincarnation and reinventing the wheel and all this junk. Go ahead, Heavenly Father, and let the enemy eat his own tail. I pray, Lord, that you would send confusion in the enemy's camp. Lord, I pray that these people would drop off the list for being targeted. That the people who are targeted them, Father, I lift them up and pray for their salvation, Lord. I pray that they would turn to Jesus Christ and stop doing what they're doing and stop being led by the spirits that are leading them to torture and torment others. Father, we just ask for their salvation, Lord. Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for them that despitefully use you. And so, and you said it would be like heaping coals on their head. So we ask for their salvation, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you, Heavenly Father, to keep your hand on all your children in this world right now, Father, that is getting darker by the minute. But I do believe that we, as Christians, your true children, are shining brighter all the time. And I thank you, Father, because I know you hear our prayers. And I know that you're answering our prayers. And Father, I thank you for pouring your power out on us that we can walk in power. Just like the early church did, Father. And I just pray, Lord, that you bless your children. Meet their needs, Heavenly Father. Help them in their lives, Lord. Search their hearts and give them their heart's desire. And I pray all these things in the mighty and the holy and the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. And I seal this prayer in the blood of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, you guys, I just want to take a minute to, let's go through how to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And why? Why do we even need to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And also, I'm talking to the people also who maybe walked with the Lord and you went away from him and you just kind of left it behind and you haven't really been walking with Jesus anymore. That's what we call backsliders. I'm talking to both the person who wants to be saved for the first time ever and to the person who's a backslider who wants to come back to Jesus, because this ministry does not believe in once saved, always saved. Okay, God does his part and we do our part. It's a team. We work together. All right, so the first thing is, you might say, and I hear this a lot, and even my husband was saying it, to be honest with you, before we got truly saved. I'm a good person.
You know, I haven't killed anybody. That's kind of the standard these days. As long as you haven't killed anybody, you're a good person. Really, listen to this. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned. To be honest with you, because the world is in a fallen state, we all are born into sin, okay? And also for the people that think, but I'm a good person. I'm good. I don't hurt nobody. I do good things. I help people. That person, then there's scripture in Isaiah that says for our righteousness, that's when we're calling ourselves good and we're saying, but we're good. We're good people. Our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. That's that thing that stinks that you're like, ooh, get it out of the house, right? Filthy rags to him. Okay, and he's the standard. He's the judge, Jesus Christ. And so the thing is, if we miss his mark and we don't please him, we're not going to make heaven. So we want to make sure we got our ducks all in a row, right? And if you look at the Ten Commandments, now we're not a legalistic church. We know we're under grace, which is what Jesus Christ brought. But there's people that say, you know, like, I don't need Jesus. I'm doing the Ten Commandments. Well, if you just pull out the simplest one, I'm just going to pull out one. You shall not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, okay? That's what lying is. And if you say, I don't lie, that's a lie. Everybody lies. Little kids come out lying. You say, did you do that? Did you break this? No, not me. Bam. So come on, you know? So here's the thing. We've all broken at least one of the commandments. And in the New Testament, it says if you break one, you broke them all. Because that's the attitude of God. He's like, if you break one, it's just as good as breaking them all, because that's all it takes to separate you from him as one. Okay? So let's pray that prayer of salvation. It's real easy to do, y'all. You just say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. Please come into my heart. I believe you died on that cross for me, and I believe you rose again, and you are seated at God's right hand. Please help me to live for you all the days of my life. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, that prayer, you prayed to Jesus in his name. The rest of them, you're going to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Okay? And you'll get all that as you learn and grow in the Spirit. Okay? To see why you needed to pray that prayer of salvation, the scripture on that is Romans 10:9-10. That'll show you about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart and how to obtain salvation, in case you're wondering how come we're doing that, okay? Now, something that you're going to want to do, you want to right off the bat start establishing your relationship with Jesus. Okay, and in order to do that, you want to hear his voice, right? You want to hear him. I don't know a person out there that's trying to be a Christian that doesn't want to hear his voice. And how you hear his voice? Read his word. That's his words written down for you and I to read. That's his voice speaking to you without a shadow of a doubt. Okay, then when you pray, you speak to him. So what's that? That's two-way communication. You're speaking to him. He's speaking to you. Now you've got a relationship going, okay? And you want to do that every day. Every day, seek him. You seek him by reading his word and praying and letting him know, I want more of you. When you read the Bible, ask him to open your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears and to give you understanding. And he'll help you understand his word, okay? He wrote it by Holy Spirit, okay? And the next thing that you're going to want to do is get in a good Bible-based church. Now, I'm not pushing any kind of denomination. You just want to find a church that is preaching and teaching the whole Bible. Okay? They believe in the Bible and they believe in Jesus Christ, that he is God and the Son of God. Okay? And that it's through him that we have our redemption and our salvation. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? And also, I wanted to say that some people think, oh, I just pray for forgiveness one time and I'm done because he died way back when. So now that I asked, it's all already done. No, You need to ask forgiveness and try to make it a habit on a daily basis, because we're in these fleshly bodies before we get our glorified bodies, so we battle this flesh daily. So just, you know, when you pray each day, at some point during the day, say, Lord, please forgive me for all my sins, and go on about your prayer. And he knows you're praying and you're talking to him from your heart, and you talk to him just like you and I would talk, okay? You don't have to have fancy whatever, all right? And ask him to help you grow spiritually. If you want to, let us know that you prayed that prayer. It would be such a blessing to hear your testimony, okay? God bless y'all.